It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, I certainly hope each and every one of you had a very Merry Christmas. I had a good time. This year, it was just wonderful time. Ate all kinds of food and way too much of it. It's funny. My girlfriend lives for food. And we're talking, you know, 5'2", 120 pounds woman, just loves food. We'll literally plan stuff out in advance. Matter of fact, she had Christmas dinner planned out 4 or 5 days after Thanksgiving. In fact, it got to the point where she said she had a dream about all of the wonderful food that she wanted to have at Christmas. Woke up the next morning, wrote everything down, and of course that's what we had. I went to bed Christmas night just with way too much food in my belly. Way too much food. So the day after Christmas, much happier, not nearly as much stuff in my belly. We have leftovers of everything, but luckily it's not a tremendous amount. Those sorts of rich foods are going to cause me when I go to the gym later this week, everything will be fine. The week after that, there's going to be a whole bunch of new people in the gym in my way for the next 3 or 4 weeks until their New Year's resolutions wear off and they decide, yeah, this isn't for me. Happens every year. You know, Christianity, until recently, until just a few years ago, was the largest religion on planet Earth. Now, Islam is the largest religion on planet Earth. It's been that way for 5 or 6 years now. Best that we can tell. Well, during all of the Muslim holidays, all of their different holy days and during the fasting during the month of Ramadan, all of those sorts of things, we as Christians have, for the most part, respected all of that. Especially during wartime. They don't push offenses. They even hold off on gaining ground during holy days during the Muslim religion in a war zone. Well, as it turns out, Muslims, not surprisingly, aren't nearly as, I guess they don't really respect us to any point whatsoever, so they don't bother. There was a couple of Christmas attacks, and of course the Pope denounced them. So here's a little story for us. Pope Benedict XVI has denounced Christmas attacks on the faithful in the Philippines and Nigeria and called for the peaceful resolution of conflict. Now, Nigeria, highly Muslim, not entirely. Philippines, mostly Christian, except for the southern part of the country, which is Muslim, has been for hundreds of years. As a matter of fact, around the time where Christopher Columbus discovered the United States, discovered America, there were different attempts for the Spaniards to get into the Philippines. They never got past the beachheads when trying to get into the Philippines through military might until they sent Christians there to try to spread the Christian religion. That's the first time they actually got into Manila. And Christianity then started to take hold, all except for the southern parts of the Philippines. You probably remember missionaries was the word I was looking for, Christian missionaries that went in. Anyhow, you probably remember the stories about General Black Jack Pershing, post-World War I, around that era, got sick and tired of all the Muslim attacks in the Philippines and took things into his own hands and ended Muslim attacks in the Philippines for some 70, 75 years. Well, Pope Benedict also cited Saturday's suicide bombing in Pakistan, homicide bombing, in fact, it is, which killed some 45 people at an aid center. He says, once again, the earth is stained by blood. That's what he said on, what he said on Sunday, the day after Christmas. A bomb exploded during Christmas Day Mass at a chapel inside a police camp in the southern Philippines, where Muslims are, wounding a priest and 10 churchgoers. Also Saturday, 6 people died in an attack by a Muslim sect members on 2 churches in northern Nigeria. So, we respect the Muslim holidays around the world on those holidays. And we don't bother any religion on their most religious of days. Well, Christmas, by far, the most religious of holidays for Christians around the world, that's a day Muslims look to pounce on us. Actually go out of their way. Benedict appealed for people to, quote, to abandon ways of hatred, to find peaceful solutions to conflict, and give security and serenity to innocence. You're absolutely right, Pope. And I have to tell you, we as Christians understand that. The fundamentalists of the Islamic religion does not. They look for the opportunity to beat up on everyone that they can. Beat up on all of the innocents. Pardon me, I'm having issues with something banging on my microphone here. We'll get this sorted out. In his Christmas message on Saturday, Benedict urged loyal Catholics in China and Iraq to have courage in the face of persecution and limits on their religious freedom, as the largest number of pilgrims in a decade flocked to celebrate Christmas in Bethlehem. His traditional holiday speech highlighted the tensions between Beijing and the Vatican and the dangers facing minority Christians in Iraq, where militants have used violent attacks to try to drive them out of the country. He says, quote, may the birth of the Savior strengthen the spirit of faith, patience, and courage of the faith of the church in the mainland China, and that they may not lose heart through the limitations imposed on their freedom of religion and conscious but persevering infidelity to Christ and his church may keep alive the flame of hope. That was what Benedict prayed. In recent weeks, tensions have flared anew between the Vatican and Beijing over the Chinese government's defiance of the Pope's authority to name bishops and its insistence that prelates loyal to Rome promotes China's state-backed church. Chinese church officials did not immediately comment late on Saturday on the Pope's homily. Imagine that. Because they are shut down by the Chinese government. These are the same people that control our economy right now, guys. They own us. Well, there you go. Christians getting persecuted on the holiest day in the entire Christian calendar. Where we, as Christians, don't do that to other religions. We don't lie in wait, waiting for others to gather in mass, defenseless, and attack them. Well, I guess that shows who the better group is. My two cents. Guys, we're going to move on. Talk a little bit about gays in the military after we return. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here. You're tuned in to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Well, you know, the week before Christmas, Congress passed, Obama signed, a repeal to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the military. Well, nearly a week later, we have an officer in the military who refuses to sign an order for what he calls troop indoctrination over the repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Here's the story. Obama's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy is already damaging the U.S. military, is the way this is written. So I guess it all depends on how you want to look at this as to really what's inside this story. An Army Lieutenant Colonel has asked to be relieved of command rather than order his troops to go through pro-homosexual indoctrination following the repeal of the policy, which required homosexuals to keep silent about their sexual preference. Currently, the commander of a battalion-sized unit in the Army National Guard, the officer also has threatened to resign his commission rather than undergo, quote, behavior modification training intended to counter his religious convictions about homosexuality. Discover what's causing modern America to. See, the soldier then sent the following letter to his commanding officer. Subject: request for relief from command due to personal moral conflict with new homosexual policy. 1. I respectfully request to be relieved of command of XXX Squadron, XXX Cavalry, prior to new policy implementation subsequent to the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. My personal religious beliefs and moral convictions do not permit me to treat homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle compatible with military service any more than adultery, illicit drug use, or criminal activity. I believe this lifestyle runs counter to good order and discipline in military units, and I refuse to sacrifice my belief system protected by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution in order to fall in line with the command policy that will logically follow. This new policy will undoubtedly include mandatory sensitivity training as well as same-sex partner inclusion in family readiness group activities and integration into the full spectrum of other military benefits, as well as a whole new category of discrimination standards and investigative procedures. I will not, as a commander, put my signature on a training schedule or other document recognizing or legitimizing any of these things that contradict my personal beliefs. I would also like to remain in the XXX Army National Guard unit until I am eligible for retirement at 20 years and 0 days, which would be in the late summer of 2012. But on grounds of my religious beliefs, I will not attend sensitivity or behavior modification training consequently to this policy change, even if it means disciplinary action. I regret that I cannot continue to serve in the military further, but I feel that my efforts would be insincere because my heart will no longer be in it. I will not be the person who forces this training on my soldiers. The officer whose identity was being protected told this to WorldNet Daily, who's reporting the story. He plans to go on the record as soon as he discusses his request with his chain of command. The officer said he's aware of other officers who intend to resign their commissions. These people want to serve. I want to serve. I love my job. I can't do this job once they begin to implement this policy, he says. Under the terms of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal, the armed forces will not be permitted to allow open homosexuality in the services until the president, the secretary of defense, and the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff can certify that terminating Don't Ask, Don't Tell will not impair military readiness. During the transition period that will precede certification, the military plans to require servicemen to attend mandatory training sessions intended to change their attitudes towards homosexuality. Very few soldiers are fine with open homosexuals on the surface, said the officer. I cannot believe the numbers jibe with what was published in the previous survey, he said, referring to a study commissioned by the Pentagon to assess whether the military could safely repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He says, quote, I do not give up my constitutional rights and freedom of religion when I join the military. I don't believe in subjecting myself to all of the behavior modification and sensitivity training. They're going to try to push the position that this is an acceptable lifestyle. Now, beyond concerns about violating his own conscience and beliefs of his soldiers, the officer predicts several additional adverse consequences to repealing the military's ban on open homosexuality. He says, quote, I don't believe the steps they're taking allow a commander to maintain good order and discipline in a military unit. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a compromise to allow homosexuals to serve as long as they kept it to themselves. Now they'll be able to throw their lifestyles in everybody's face, and commanders won't be able to do anything about it. Now, the officer also predicts problems with retention and recruitment. He says, quote, I think it might not have an immediate huge impact, but as enlistments expire, You get people who vote with their feet and leave the service and don't believe the recruitment, and I don't believe the recruitment effort is going to be, is going to offset the amount of people that leave. The military historically attracts a more conservative group of people who have certain principles and beliefs and swear an oath to the Constitution. That's what he says. Now, as previously reported by WorldNet Daily, some experts predict as many as a quarter of Americans in the military service will resign or leave earlier than planned because of the advent of open homosexuality. Nearly half of the Marine Corps respondents to the Pentagon survey said they would consider leaving the service earlier than planned. Half! The officers also predicted growing security problems as homosexuals become more prevalent in the service. One of the Army values is selfless service, he says. Placing the good of the nation above personal desire is an essential trait of a good soldier who would be called upon to give his or her life in the nation's defense. When you start trying to attract people who are so self-centered that they put living their lifestyle out in the open above the needs of their country and national defense, then you have a really dangerous combination. That's when you get instances like PFC Bradley Manning, who is a homosexual. Because of his personal beliefs and bitterness towards the military, he decided to leak 150,000 sensitive wires that have done irreparable damage to our nation. He's referring to the WikiLeaks. Manning, an openly gay soldier, reportedly sent many thousands of sensitive documents to the WikiLeaks website out of anger over the military's ban on open homosexuality. Okay. Here's my two cents on this. My feeling is, just me, and I've never served in the military. I've served as a police officer, but never in the military. In the police department, there is no policy. You can be as gay or lesbian or heterosexual as you want. In the military, I don't have a problem with homosexual serving. What I do have a problem with is the people who are heterosexual having openly gayness in the military, thrown in their face, and they're told, you must deal with this. That's what I have an issue with. If the people who are openly against open gay marriages, who are just adamantly against it, are forced to have to deal with it, you're going to have a mass exodus out of the military. Don't ask, don't tell seem to work just frigging fine. Why goof with it? It's not broke. Don't fix it. You can be gay. Just don't go talking about it. Just don't flagrantly throw it in everybody's face. I don't throw it in everybody's face that I'm heterosexual. Why does someone who's gay feel that they must throw it out into my face? And that's not all gays. I'm just saying a certain percentage of the gay community. You want to serve in the military? Great. We won't ask if you're gay. You don't have to tell us if you're gay. Serve right along with everybody else. It seemed to have worked for decades. Why bother with it? We're moving on after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Bill Carnes at 2A Radio. We'll be right back. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Now, I've been reporting for years on this whole deal with gun-free zones. All that gun-free zones are victim-filled zones. If you're looking for victims, or if you're looking to perpetrate a crime, and you can perpetrate that crime inside of a gun-free zone, your chances of success are dramatically increased, because everyone in there who's a law-abiding citizen, as they would like to call them, are going to honor the gun-free zone. Stupid. Stupid thing to do. Have a gun-free zone, and then everybody, oh yeah, we're good. Oh, it's la-la land. It's wonderful. There's no guns. There's no crime. There's no violence. It's like our own little Garden of Eden right now. Oh my goodness. There's someone with a gun. Oh, it's a gun-free zone. What are you doing? Oh, you're robbing people. You're shooting people. You're raping the women. What are you doing? It's a gun-free zone. Are you stupid? No, they're not stupid. They're smart. Because they know everybody in there is a disarmed victim. They can do whatever they want. Perfect example of this? Well, how about learning institutions? Remember Virginia Tech? Places of employment? Remember the mass shootings back, where was it? Massachusetts? Rhode Island? A few months ago? How about government facilities? Remember the courthouse in downtown Las Vegas in, let's see, I think it was spring 2010? Guy goes in there and shoots three different people? Government facilities, places of education, places of worship as well, places of work on top of that. Those are places where people get killed in mass numbers. Quite commonly, you have places of worship and places of education where you get all kinds of other crimes going on as well. Not by people within, but people from the outside. Certainly places of work. Places of work, the biggest place for crime. Most bosses won't allow their employees to have a bunch of guns. Usually when you see that someone in a retail outlet, a store, whatever, that shoots back and stops or kills an armed robber, oftentimes, it's the owner, not an employee. Well, last week, a Georgia Tech student was robbed in his dorm room by four men wearing masks, and at least one of the robbers was armed with a handgun. The university sent a message to campus students advising them on safety, with such helpful tidbits as the following. Walk in well-lit areas. To report in an operative exterior campus light, you can go to the facilities website and report it. Walk with a friend or in a group. Be alert of your surroundings. Immediately report suspicious activity to the Georgia Tech police by calling blah da 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 da. Program the Georgia Tech Police Department's phone number into your cell phone. For on-campus transportation from 6 p.m. to 7 a.m., you can call this other following number, which ends in RIDE. Great. The university's helpful advice does not instruct students to carry a gun, because in Georgia, it's a crime to carry a gun into a dorm room, meaning that students are denied the inherent right of self-defense even while in their own home at the campus. They live in the dorm room. That is their home. But there's some unconstitutional Georgia law that says you can't carry a gun in there. Ironically, Georgia Tech was one of the most vocal advocates for keeping the current criminal law banning firearms from college campuses during the 2009-2010 legislative session. Of course, that is the people behind Georgia Tech, not the students. Georgia Tech even argued unsuccessfully to keep firearms out of college parking lots. Georgia Tech was more successful when arguing for keeping a criminal law against armed students in class and in their own sleeping quarters, but such laws never apply to violent criminals who see such laws as more of an opportunity as opposed to being an obstacle. The result of disarming students is that students become helpless, disarmed victims, unlike students in Utah, Colorado, Oregon, and other states where violent criminals have to think twice about whether their potential victims are armed, because they're allowed to have guns on campus. Their inalienable rights are not alienated there. Georgia Tech, they are. College students are more than capable of stopping an armed robbery when the law does not get in their way, as 23-year-old college student Ryan Moore demonstrated just a week before this armed robbery at Georgia Tech, when he shot an armed robber at an Ingalls parking lot in Conyers, Georgia. Why is Ryan Moore disarmed the moment he crosses the imaginary line marking campus property? Armed robbers are not disarmed there, as the events of this armed robbery in the dorm room once again demonstrate. Somebody obviously didn't tell the armed robbers when they were going into the dorm room with at least one handgun that that was illegal. Not to mention that the armed robbery itself was illegal. Robbing someone is illegal. Robbing someone with a gun has an even higher crime. But on top of that, you took a gun into a dorm room. Oh my gosh. If you're going to rob somebody, don't do it with a gun in the dorm room. Take them outside of the dorm room, then pull out your gun. What are they thinking? What are they thinking? You've got these different people on college campuses that have been in there for the last, 45 years or so, that just believe in this utopian society. This utopian society of guns are evil, people are wonderful. It's the gun that makes an otherwise wonderful person evil to the core. Right. Like, they would have you believe Mother Teresa, had you placed a gun in her hand, she would have become a homicidal maniac. Because the gun possess, it's like kryptonite or something. Like a gun has the power of kryptonite. No, that's not it at all. Violence and evil come from within. The tools do not create it in people. That's not it. It's not the guns. It's not the knives. It's not the baseball bats. It's not the cars that make people crazy. A gun makes someone a mass murderer or homicidal maniac as much as a car makes some drunk driver a drunk. Or as much as a pen or pencil causes the misspelling of words. Or as much as, and I love this one, spoons made Rosie O'Donnell fat. Rosie O'Donnell made herself fat. She's fat in the head. She's got fat genes. The spoon was just a tool to shovel all of the garbage food into her mouth. And nobody with a gun held it to her head, telling her to eat until she got as fat and disgusting as she is. Rosie O'Donnell got fat and disgusting on her own. Had nothing to do with the spoon. The spoon was just a tool. And I can only imagine that enough of the calories that infiltrated into Rosie O'Donnell's fat, disgusting body got there with no spoon whatsoever. I would imagine that the hands oftentimes shoveled food into that garbage hole under her nose. Therefore, you can rationalize that guns don't make people homicidal, don't cause them to rob people or turn rape victims into rape victims because they have a gun. If you think that, you're a moron. Stay tuned, more to come.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
Well, I want to start off this segment by talking about how gun control, denying people of guns, has been a complete failure when it comes to safety of people in society who are disarmed historically. And history repeats itself in this manner over and over and over again, time and time and time and time and time again, without fail. When you disarm the people, their safety goes down and crime goes up. Never has this been a bigger instance than when you talk about large cities, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Chicago, where they have these anti-gun policies and crime is rampant. However, the politicians gain more control and that's what they want. They don't care about your safety. They care about their own power. I'm going to read to you an article entitled "Giving Up Rights for Security in Chicago, a Total Failure," by a fellow by the name of Gerard Valentino. He says, Chicago is known worldwide for having everything a world-class city has to offer. From a great nightlife to the arts, to ethnic cuisine, championship-caliber professional sports teams, great universities, and an excellent public transportation network, the city has something to offer just about everyone. What many don't realize, however, is that Chicago also boasts one of the most intrusive government surveillance systems in the United States. But even with the Chicago police using nearly 10,000 cameras to spy on all aspects of life in the city, it's still better known around the world for violence than for being in the same class as New York, London, Tokyo, or Paris. Year after year, hundreds of Chicagoans are slaughtered on the city's killing fields, making it one of the most violent places in the United States. The truth is that bad public policy and anti-gun laws that empower criminals can't be overcome by using cameras to watch every move people make. Anywhere honest citizens are disarmed and criminals can pick a victim at will, there will always be a powerful criminal element. Only by enacting policies that turn the tables in favor of law-abiding citizens can Chicago, or any other city for that matter, make headway in the battle against violent crime. Cameras only serve to give people a false sense of security because many law-abiding citizens think criminals won't commit crimes under surveillance. Just watch the local news blows that the theory of the water blows that theory out of the water, since there always seems to be a story showing someone robbing a convenience store in full view of the surveillance cameras. To be completely honest, there is some evidence that criminals will shift the location of their activity away from electronic surveillance, but there is no evidence that they give up their life of crime when cities employ such surveillance networks. All the cameras in the world can't overcome Mayor Richard Daley's ridiculous decision to cling to the false hope of gun control. Only by returning the right to bear arms to the citizens of Chicago can there be any expectation that the needed cultural change will occur and that Chicagoans will finally realize they have to take back their city from the criminal element. One tool alone shifts the balance of power in a violent encounter from the criminal to the honest citizen. That tool is that of a firearm. It's bad enough that the state of Illinois doesn't allow legal concealed carry for law-abiding citizens. But just days after the Supreme Court struck down Chicago's handgun ban, the city enacted strict new gun control laws. For all intents and purposes, the first, last, and only line of defense for homeowners is the strength of the locks on their doors and windows. When a criminal gets into the home, the situation is only one possible outcome because homeowners lack the means to fight back and the city's cameras are useless. To think criminals in Chicago don't know they have a free pass when committing crimes within the city limits defies logic. But then thinking criminals will obey gun bans in the first place borders on insanity. Still, the biggest tangible issue created by the cameras is that citizens believe a city saturated with electronic surveillance is safer than cities that don't employ the same tactics. That simply isn't true. And the Daley administration's assertions that more cameras equal less crime is irresponsible, since people might be more willing to take risks and hire in areas under surveillance. Privacy advocates are quick to point out that widespread use of cameras does irreparable harm to the freedom we enjoy as Americans. But others will argue that it's up to the city's inhabitants to decide if they will tolerate the cameras, since there is no expectation of privacy while out in public. That issue is always part of the debate over the use of cameras by the government to spy on citizens. My own personal interjection here: you don't have any right or expectation of privacy while out in public, but you do have the expectation to not be surveilled the entire time you're out of an area where you do have an expectation of privacy. Continuing with this story. Not surprisingly, most pro-gun advocates see the intrusion as unacceptable and refuse to accept that trading privacy for security is worthwhile. Such an observation is easy to see when most gun advocates view personal safety as a personal responsibility. Hear ye. In Chicago, giving up privacy by allowing the cameras has no tangible benefit, since the murder rate is still among the highest in America. This fact that turns the old saying that those willing to trade freedom for security deserve neither on its head, since Chicagoans are trading freedom away without getting anything in return. End of that particular news article. Guys, if you believe that giving the government some sort of control through some sort of surveillance or telling you, hey, give up your own personal level of security to us, the government, be it town, city, county, state, federal, we will take care of you. We're from the government. We're here to help. If you subscribe to that mindless breeding, do yourself a favor. Forget about yourself. Do the rest of us a favor. Think beyond your own small mind. Those of us who know that is giving government way more power and control than they were ever supposed to have, and way more power and control than they can actually do anything with, and you are giving up your own personal safety and that of your family. If that's the environment you want to live in, there are a myriad of English-speaking countries around the globe that you can move to and live that way. Leave we here in America, who know that my own safety lies in my own hands, leave us the hell alone. I know that the gun right here on my hip right now is the only security I've got when I've already gone through every process I can to keep a bad guy away from me by staying out of bad areas of town or different places at different times of the day or night when I probably shouldn't be there, or by keeping my head up and being in what Jeff Cooper referred to as condition yellow, where you're aware of your surroundings and what's going on. You don't have your face buried into some text messaging machine or some other modern convenience, I'm aware of my surroundings. And if I see something that I deem to be uncomfortable or a situation that I might not want to get in, I can vary my activities or stare somebody in the eye if they are quite apparent to me to be someone who is looking for a victim. We make that eye contact. They realize, yeah, that guy, being me, Bill Carnes, is not the guy I want to go after. If all of that fails, then the gun that I've got is my last resort, and I will employ it. And I have thousands upon thousands of hours of training, and more so being a trainer, on how to properly, effectively, and efficiently deploy this gun. Much more so than the average person who carries a gun on a daily basis. And I'm not saying you need thousands of hours, but you need the right mindset and not to give it over to the government.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not.